Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Boys and girls, welcome to another edition of That Millwall Podcast with your host, the one and only Omar.
Go on, just allow him to do that.
Is that John Buffner or is that Mickey Simpson? Hello, everyone. Welcome back to edition number 40 of That Mill Podcast. Mickey doesn't know that, but it's going to be kept in the intro there. Hope you're doing well. We're fresh off a 2-0 victory at the Den. Unbelievable scenes. A 2-0 win against West Brom Albion yesterday at the time of recording. Obviously, Saturday afternoon at the Den. 2-0 win. Mickey, talk to me about that, mate. Buzzing?
In the words of Jimmy Greaves and Ian St. John, it's a game of two halves.
Nice. Unbelievable, Jeff, as well, isn't it, Kai? That's what I'm going to say. Great win yesterday for Millwall, and your optimism paid off. Obviously, wake up in the morning, you're in the chat saying we're going to win. I think you said 3-1 at one point, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, good win for Millwall, wasn't it?
Yeah, I got the two-goal scoreline correct, didn't I? As in, like, we win two goals. But it was a really poor one side, wasn't it? That's probably, that's potentially the poorest West Brom side I've ever seen at the Den.
Yeah,
like, well, they were very poor and their fans were very against the manager, which was quite funny because it felt like a game that if we won, they were going to want their manager out. If we lost, if they won, we'd turn on Gary. So it felt like a game of very, you know, fine margins between the two sides. Yeah. We came up on top. So, yeah.
Right, the time of recording, Ishmael's still in the job at West Brom. Yeah, the fans are very anti him, but we'll talk more about that, obviously, in the first part of the show. Second part of the show, we've also got a doubleheader this week. Obviously, we're playing Preston at home. Another chance to try and get another win on the board, although it would be a tricky kind of test for us. Obviously, Ryan Lowe, the manager over there at Preston North End. Obviously, if you're new around here, guys, be sure to like the video. Subscribe if you're new. The same on audio. It helps us out more than you think. And we look forward to talking more about the game. So we'll go into the first part of the show now and talk all things 3 points at the Den. All right, welcome to the first part of the show. As mentioned, chaps, 2-0 win yesterday for Millwall at the Den. Benik Afobe getting the seconds. The first being scored by Mason Bennett of all people, Kai. What a win, mate. What a win.
Oh, Benik Afobe. Honestly, it was such a good win. Like, first half, there was not much to talk about. Obviously, apart from Andy Carroll's strike that Bart kept out superbly. Yeah. We went through to half time. I thought we grew into the game after maybe the first half an hour. We were the last 15 minutes, we looked much, much better. Second half was one of their moments that you thought, we need to make our dominance count. This is one of these moments that if we don't make our dominance count, we could live to regret that. And it took us, 67 minutes on the clock. Mason Bennett, ball comes in from Scott Malone. Before I mention it, a very needless foul from the West Brom right back, Darnell Furlong, I believe it was, who must have been, you know, deserving of a yellow card about half 30 minutes through. It was unreal.
He was charged up for the game, weren't he, Furlong? He was definitely
I felt like they wanted to sort of beat us at our own game of trying to, you know, rough us up a little bit. Good ball in Scott Malone. It sort of flicked on again. I think Bennett gets the last touch before it gets to Mason Bennett. Mason Bennett hits it in and it's that man, Andy Carroll, who hits it into the roof of the net, which is very pleasing. About 10 minutes later, Benik Afobe, you know, scores a second. It was a really good goal. That little nutmeg past Matt Clark was brilliant. Mm-hmm. And then he slots it past Button in goal, I believe. It was a really good win. And, you know, it could have been more had we taken our chances. So I'm buzzing with the 3 points.
That second half in particular, Mickey, top draw after what was a drab first half, wasn't it, mate? But we got the all-important goals and, yeah, I mean, Kai's right. Benik Afobe's goal for me is just a touch of class, wasn't it, yesterday?
Yeah, absolute touch of class. And also, they just seemed to come out and want it, didn't they? They seemed to want something to prove because they got booed off first half, didn't they? Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was ours what was getting booed off or theirs, but there was a load of booing. And
I think it was the ref.
Probably both.
probably the ref. But, yeah, no, it was definitely a game, you know. I know it's an old cliche and football commentators around the world over probably the last 50, 60 years have always said, you know, football is a game of two halves. And yesterday proved that very fact. A few bits of, you know, class football were the deciding factor. And, you know, Millwall got the 3 points and we won 2-0 at home and it was just superb. Like what was posted out on the pod account yesterday, you know, what the fuck happened there? You know, mm-hmm. Did we really just win? Do you know what I mean? It was just unbelievable. And yeah, why are we talking about a bit of class as well to Millwall for putting Isla up on the screen?
Oh, my family, yeah, brilliant.
Probably the only West Ham person wearing a full West Ham kit to ever go on the screens at Millwall. And we're getting good publicity for it through other fan base and everything else. And I don't think it was all about that. It was just making sure that Isla was, her story has gone around the world and people have seen it. And, you know, if people see it and realise what's what, then that's great. But, you know, it's, as far as I'm concerned, and I think most other fans are now, normal service resumes, mate. If we get West Ham in the cup, then, normal service will resume.
Yeah, two moments of class in the second half, one moment of class in the first half.
Absolutely.
I'm 100% agree with you there. We'll talk about the team, obviously. There was only one change from the weekend before, obviously that defeat at Blackpool. Bielkowski was in goal. Back three continued of Hutchinson, Cooper and Wallace. McNamara on the right, Malone on the left, who, you know, kept his place in the sides. Kind of contentious, but I think, you know, Kyle, you mentioned obviously about keeping Malone in your team on Thursday when we was doing our recording, and I think it paid off, to be fair. Keith Nobel and Mitchell in the middle, who Keith Nobel for me stood out, you know, I think he's a player that obviously, I think second half in particular, when we tried to turn it over and get at the team quick, it paid off there. And obviously a front three, Burke on the right, Bennett on the left, and a Phobie up top. I mean, where do you start with that performance, Kyle? I think I said Keith Nobel, we'll talk a bit about him a little bit. I think as the game got a bit more scrappy and we were trying to turn over, play quicker and more so not worry about playing pretty football, the intent was to get the ball forward. He seemed to kind of grow in the game and become a dog in that midfield we kind of expect from Keith Nobel.
No, he didn't. I thought West Brom came at us, as I said before, with trying to almost match up for our own game. And by doing that, playing Keith Nobel was perfect because he justifies everything what Mill was about, really. He's, I like to describe him as the Dutch destroyer.
Yep.
And funny enough, he did not yet get a yellow card yesterday, which must be one of his first times in a Millwall shirt. no, it was fantastic. He broke all the play. And funny enough, I looked at his stats after that. He actually had one of the best passing accuracies in the team yesterday.
Oh, really?
Which was really interesting because I expected someone like Billy Mitchell or someone like that of that sort of player to have the most, but Keith had one of the highest pass success, which, you know, with Keith, we don't always, you know, associate technical quality and, you know, a little bit of quality on the ball with him. We more associate the hard tackling, the work rate. But I thought he was superb yesterday. He was up for man of the match. My personal man of the match yesterday was Mason Bennett. He gave us everything yesterday. He worked hard. Rowett said in his post-match that Cedric Kipre will be going home after a torrid afternoon, you know, because Mason Bennett absolutely tore him a new one yesterday. He worked so hard. Everything that Kipre had at the ball, every time he had the ball at his feet, Mason Bennett was there either closing him down, trying to block it, or he won it off him. He was superb.
His first 90 minutes of the season as well, Kai, I think, I'm not mistaken. Obviously, a lot of people always get on his back about that. I think he's only completed two 90 minutes in his career or something silly. There was a stat working the rounds not too long ago. But I think even in the post-match interview done with the club, I think Rowett said he was considering starting Bury yesterday. And I think he's been rewarded, obviously, by sticking with a player that he knows and trusts in Bennett.
Yeah, and Hutch said in his post-match as well that he, when they got back into the changing room, Bennett was taking the mick out of because they said, oh, are you feeling okay after that 90 minutes? Because they were like winding him up. But no, honestly, fantastic performance from Bennett. Fully deserved his goal. And I thought he was the man of the match yesterday. And he almost gave us what Jed would give us in terms of that work rate, that quality, that power, that hunger to get the ball back. And I thought he was superb. And, you know, Jed Wallace... And I can see Mickey laughing over here, but
no, not about that. It's just where you're sitting, there, the power of the hunger. It's just that my kids keep playing that rock rap.
Oh.
And that's every time someone says like those words together, it just fucking floods into my head with and that coming to me. And I'm just waiting for an oversample of that to come in. Do you know what I mean?
No, he showed massive power and hunger, you know, yesterday.
See, do it again. Thanks, mate.
Did on purpose it. No, seriously, like. You know, Jeb Wallace, there's a couple of people, you know, a couple of people in my family are saying to me, you know, what could Jeb Wallace have given us yesterday that Mason Bennett couldn't have? Mm-hmm. And Jeb Wallace, for me, is our best player. That's always how I've seen Jeb Wallace. But Mason Bennett more than made up for Jeb Wallace's absence yesterday. I thought he was superb. He worked so hard. He showed that grit and determination. And overall, I thought he was, easily the best player on the pitch.
It felt like a first kind of glimpse, Mickey, of life after Jed, in a sense. I thought I wanted to pick up Burke as well. I don't think Burke was anything special yesterday, but that second half, he was picking up positions where there was one point where it was like a ball over the top from the left and he managed to drift inwards. And if he got a better poke on the ball, he tried to obviously take it down and he's touched tricking wide, but it could have actually ended up in the back of the net. Like he's quick to drift in. He has these moments where he's obviously shown that raw pace he's got. And I think he adds something different to the front line that we've never really seen before. I always thought Bennett was the speed merchant that we needed. But with Burke on that right, drifting inwards constantly, the three up top, you know, obviously we went with it to that yesterday with Burke, Afobe and Bennett. But all three of them at times were just unplayable for West Brom.
What a ball by Cooper, by the way.
Yeah, that's true. Go on, Mickey.
No, I think Burke's going to be a great addition once he starts getting a bit more fitness under his belt and he gets a few more games under him. I think coming into the final part, you're going to see something good from him. Will we have a chance of probably signing him? Probably not. He's probably going to be worth a fortune. But
that's the only cynic in me. I was going
to say, that's the thing, isn't it?
Have but, we got I mean, a deal in place to sign him? Probably not. And every time he plays well, his valuation goes up, doesn't it? So
yeah, and also, I mean, you know, the West Brom, but Tavares said, you know, he never really made it with them. And hope that he finds himself in a, you know, at Millwall and finds himself a club and restarts his career. But the boy's got speed. And with those three up front, people can't handle it. And yesterday you saw, because I've seen a couple of videos of Gary's doing these coaching sessions with these online coaching companies, where there's been a few of them across YouTube and stuff, what stumbled across by accident being on social media. And the way Gary says that he wants to play football on there is all about pace. It's all about quick, you know, ball, ones, two, three, you know, quick. Yeah. But quick passes and getting the ball up the field really quickly, get them up to the front guys to let them do their job. And yesterday we were seeing that. And that's probably the first time, especially the second half, more so than the first. But there was a few points in that second half where, you know, eight or nine passes were done just like that. And we were up in their half ready to go. So
that's also a tactic that suits a Millwall team, in my opinion. Get the ball up the field, play with your forward players. Neil Harris done it in a bit more kind of an ugly style way with a big man up front knocking it on, and then you get your players involved in the play. But I thought you saw there, Mickey, at times, you know, like if you move it quick and pick the right pass, and Kai mentioned Cooper, obviously, for the ball that I mentioned about for Burke's opportunity, like you can see it kind of slowly coming into play a little bit. And you can see that there is a kind of, I suppose, an idea to what we're trying to do with right now.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think, you know, maybe it'll go there. I mean, look, you know, as I said before, you know, I don't think the board's going to replace him. I'm not necessarily a route out. I just want to see where we're going and what we're doing. I don't think the board's going to give him massive amounts of money to buy people. I mean, if you look back through the last couple of seasons, we've not overly spent massive on players as such. A lot of them we've got for now. It looks as if that is the way. I've been looking on Millwall history. If you ever want to look back through stuff, there's lots of stuff. Gazza puts loads of stuff on there. Look, you know, if we can play like we did the second half every game for the rest of the season, then I think, you know, we're finished somewhere half decent. I don't think we make, you know, I'm not saying we're going to make playoffs or get through, but I think we're going to finish nice and, you know, between 6 and 10 easily, or 7 and 10 easily. And I think we won't necessarily finish a bad season. I think that's a respectable finish.
I don't want to get carried away because I'm actually going to play it down a little bit, because I thought West Brom, it was probably one of the poorest sides we've seen at the end of the season, to be honest. I don't know if I'm overplaying that a bit, but
they were pretty much Millwall from the game before.
Correct.
Do you know what I mean?
And they've got all the talent, all the money there. There's a lot of players there that are worth a fair bit. Callum Robson came on second half. And, you know, there's players in that side. Andy Carroll, obviously, at one point was a £35 million striker. He got a lot of stick from where I was in the Cobble Lane end in the first half anyway, Andy Carroll. But I just felt, I found myself at half-time thinking, this is drab. They're not any good. We're not any good. But whatever he said at half-time, obviously, get the ball forward. We saw it in the second half at times, Kai. You know, it obviously made the difference in the game. But I guess the challenge here is, and to lay the gauntlet down, is you've got one of your game in hands on Tuesday night at home against Preston. I think it was meant to be the game we played just before Christmas or after Christmas. I can't quite remember. But now it's time to try and get points on the board and make a consistent run of things a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. And I want to say this because I saw this saying yesterday and I really wanted to add it in today. West Brom have sort of gone from roofless to toothless. Mm-hmm. I love that saying. I saw it yesterday on Twitter and I absolutely loved it. And I thought, I've got to include that in the pod. I saw it on Twitter somewhere. Mickey's laughing at me, but I thought it was excellent.
And even Carlin Grant, Matt Phillips.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of players in that side that are
Robinson, Dean Garner.
Talent. And it's like the subs they made in the second half was Dean Garner and Robinson. You're right, at the same time. And they just have no answer for it. And I think they do look a bit at loss. And I can see why their fans are getting really, you know, unrest with Ishmael. I was thinking before the game, like, you know, you're still in the playoffs. What is this about? But then when you saw that performance from them, I kind of can get behind it and understand, you know, they don't score many goals. And they don't really offer a lot of going forward either. So, like, I mean, defensively either. So, it's like, what is there to this team, really, that makes them stand out? So,
no passion.
No, exactly. And they don't seem...
No passion and hunger? Was that
no.
No power and hunger.
No power and hunger, that's it.
No, honestly, like...
You know the song I'm on about, don't you?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, we'll talk about it afterwards. I'll try and find it and link it if we can find it.
I just thought that, you know, there was no passion from them yesterday. But moving forward now, it's important we back that up with another win at the Den. I think we're 9 points off the playoffs, aren't we? But it's only Millwall could win and go down a place in the league.
Yeah, I saw that.
Like, that was brilliant. Like, I don't care, though, because we won. That's all. I didn't care.
And we're 22 points off the bottom, aren't we? And 22 points off the top.
It was 16, but I thought it was 9 points off the playoffs.
Yeah, 16 off 22nd, 22 off 24th. So,
what's it off playoffs?
We are 9 behind Middlesbrough in the playoffs, and we played a game less than them. So, this is my point here. Like,
there's 6 on Tuesday, then.
Well, this is it. It's the consistency has got to come into play now. And
it's
you know,
positive.
We've got a tough pitches coming up after this. I mean, the home games stand out to me as if we perform like we did in the second half, you've got Preston at home. A week later, you're going to have Cardiff on the Saturday. Steve Morrison coming back with Cardiff. Is he? I don't even know if he's still going to have a job by then, to be honest. Like, he's going to be under a lot of pressure. Yeah, I know. It's always a tricky one. But then obviously QPR at home as well. Sheffield United at home. Middlesbrough at home. Huddersfield at home. This is going later into March. But if you get your home form right, which we have done predominantly before this, obviously, defeat against Forest and the defeat against Palace at home, Kai. It just shows how important it is to pick up points at home. Because on the road, I mean, we go Fulham on the 8th, and I'm already dreading that. Even though for this win yesterday, it's going to be a tough one, that going to Craven Cottage.
No, definitely. I think it's going to be a really hard one. But the thing is, going back to what we said on Thursday now, when you asked me whether I was route in, route out, I did sit on the fence, like, you know, splinted in my backside. But point is, what I'm trying to say is that it's difficult. After that win yesterday, you get so hyped up and you think, what a brilliant performance. But now we need to back it up. You back it up, then it looks really, really good, that win. Yeah. I want to roll reverse here, Omar, and ask you, does that performance yesterday change your mind or keep you where you are?
It whets the appetite, like second half. It gets me excited. But that's what I said, like, why I brought this into the conversation. It's just the consistency that's got to now come into play. And we always say it, you know, we are a decent side when we're playing like that. You need to encapsulate that and go again. And there's a challenge to the players on Tuesday night. And if we keep that kind of thing going, then of course, like, I did say, like, I'm right out because I don't see it changing. But that second half was what we want to see. That to me, anyway, there was fight, there was hunger, and there was passion. And there was power.
Can you expand a little bit more about the power and hunger or not?
I think we found our show title today, Power and Hunger, yesterday at the Den. But that's what we want to see. That is it.
Bipolar Millwall again, mate. That's what
it's what we get. It's what we get offered up. And if you find the consistent Millwall, then you're going to find yourself in the right area of the table. And that's what you've got to do. And that's the challenge now. 27 games played, 19 to go. You just got to kind of keep plucking away at it. And I think, you know, we talk, obviously, Routes referred to it last week after Blackpool. You know, get the window closed and then carry on. And this is what we've got, and we've got to work with it. And if that's what we're going to get from what we've got available, there's no arguments for me for that, to be honest. And it's just, like I said, it's the consistency. If we tried to play like that last week against Blackpool, none of us would have had a grumble either. We'd have been like, look, there was hunger there. Keegan Bell was in there. Mitchell was on the ball. McNamara was bombing forward. It was a back five last week. Yesterday was a back three with Malone and McNamara bombing on. That's what we want to see.
It was hunger and power there yesterday, you know?
Sorry?
It was hunger and power.
Yeah, that's it. So hunger and power was definitely on show. But yeah, obviously, like I said, chaps, we're 15th place in the table. 16 clear of Peterborough. 16 clear of Peterborough, Mickey. We're not going down. But hopefully, if we could just talk about the window closing tomorrow, do you reckon we're going to add anyone in, mate? Or, you know, can't see it? What do you reckon?
I think we might get a defender.
You're better off throwing something in the air and see what side heads or tails, see what side it lands on. And I think if it's heads, we're signing someone. If it's tails,
yeah, I mean, It'll be a typical Millwall. It'll be around midday and they'll put something out. If we're going to get someone, or we might get someone really, really late in it, but I can't see it myself. I just think he's, I think we've got what we've got. He's going to use the youth maybe and push on and wait till the summer window and go from there. We've always been weak in this window. We always are. What, 4 years ago, yesterday was when we brought Tim Cahill back. And that must have been one of the few used comebacks ever, innit? I think he might have played 30 minutes in all the time he came back.
Yeah,
he didn't play at all.
Terrible on the pitch, but off the pitch, it helped us obviously almost get to the playoffs that year. Until
we went 19 unbeaten, didn't we? Did we do 19 games unbeaten? Yeah.
That team was, you know, you could pick it back now. You know, it's obviously Archer in goal. Who was right back? Romeo right back, Hutchison Cooper, Meredith left back, Kai's on mute, Joe Bodis on the right, Ben Marshall on the left, Saville in the midfield with Sean Williams, yeah, and then Gregory and Morrison up front. That team was just unplayable at times, and that's what we need now. It's not a easy look on the eye team. It's not pretty, but if it's functional and it works and there's consistency there, Kai, that's what we need to see going forward now.
No, definitely. I think that's what we need, you know. I feel like tomorrow will, if we have any aspirations of making the playoffs, tomorrow makes or breaks it. I feel like we need one or two more in, really, to you know, strengthen in that area. I'd like to see an attacking midfielder and a striker brought in. So let's hope we can see it.
Can we see it, Kai?
I hope so.
Can we?
I hope so. I'm not personally confident myself, but that's because I'm a Millwall fan. So therefore, I don't trust anything until it's announced.
Okay.
We're going to get that tweet at 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock going, don't wait up, Millwall fans. Business is done for the day. Or it's going to be, we hope you're waiting up, Millwall fans, because it's going to be a late one tonight.
How about that Leeds one? You know when...
Yeah, there's a new departure.
Yeah, don't go to bed just yet. And then it was Matt Smith going.
Yeah, that's it. So I do think, like I've said all along, and I think the manager is saying the right things as well, to be fair to him, which he normally does. Whether it actually carries out the way he says it or not is another thing with Barrett. But he's saying, we're going to go for our long-term targets. And I think that's just got to be the clear way now. And I think that win yesterday is crucial to addressing the slide, probably helping to stabilise where we think we're going to be this season, which is mid-table mediocrity, which I think we're fine with now, right the season off. And if we get anything on top of that, it's a bonus. With that in mind, there's no need to pad it by tomorrow. There's no need to kind of sign someone just to get that kind of keep us up this year, so to speak, mentality. It's just now get to the end of the season. And if we get anyone, the long-term targets in tomorrow, then it's ideal, I suppose.
Hugo scored today.
Yeah, I saw that.
I think you saw that. I was like, oh, no. Like, but he won't score for the rest of the season. That's a bit okay.
I could see us getting the loan, maybe. But I can't see us getting anything major. Because we've got some of the players coming back. So, you know, Ballard coming back and the others coming back. You know, we'll be all right. Probably be all right. And they'll save their money and hopefully make a big signing in the summer.
Very true, mate. Well, any reaction you want to read from online? Obviously, I saw someone, I think it was Joe Zampa, tweet me saying, I must still wear it out. I think, you know what? Like I said, if that's what we're getting offered up, I'm happy with it. I'm content with it. I'll admit that. But like I said, let's talk about it after the next five games and then we'll reassess it. I think it could easily go the opposite way, it'd be good. But if it goes the other way, then, you know, there's nothing changed as far as I'm concerned. I was actually going to read some comments from our last YouTube video. I think I'm going to try and make this a thing. We had three comments on our last YouTube video. So if you're listening or watching on YouTube, be sure to get in touch with us. American Rover is always often a comment. How he's
just let us know whereabouts you are in America, by the way.
Yeah, come off the hour, come off the rowit. Been stewing for a week. I keep an open mind. Good show, guys, and thanks for the humanity. Mickey got the Cour de Lion. What does that mean, Mickey?
Just means I'm the bollocks, doesn't it? That's what it means. But no, look, if you let us know whereabouts you are in America, then that way, if we ever try and get you on the show or something, then at least we know where the time delay is.
Yeah.
So that we can work around it. So just before you do the other ones, if you are around the world and you do fancy coming on, because we are speaking to people around the world to do, just let us know if you're interested in coming on, especially overseas fans, because we can look at trying to fit you in on the time difference, because we're keen, we have a couple of conversations. I've got a good friend who lives in America, and it's good to hear your reactions where you're not at the games and you don't see all the social media and everything else that we see over here as such, and the press releases and everything else. It would just be good to get your view on Millwall. So yeah, get in touch, let us know. Anyway, you want to get in touch with us, do it. Sorry,
Le Lion Blue said, well put, Mickey, in regards that rivalries doesn't matter when it comes to a young girl, which obviously we touched on. He's sticking with Mickey. I believe the ball will stick with Rowett as we are stable. Omar injuries play a significant part for a club of our size. Yes, I just think it's an excuse to make when we're not turning up. Can we get one or two players in by Monday? We'll live in hope. And as Kai says, for a forward and attacking midfielder, he agrees with you there, mate. And obviously, finally, from Richard Pearce, it's quite a long comment, but I'll just skim it. He's obviously mentioned Anthony Scully from Lincoln, if Jed was to go. Kai, do you know who Anthony Scully is?
Yeah, he's good. He's really good. He's quite a similar player to Jed in terms of he likes to cut in. He's not obviously Jed's not rapid, but he's very good with the ball at his feet. And I think Scully is quite similar to Jed.
He did say also, he went on to say the hardest position to buy a permanent signing is obviously a striker, signing a good striker. He then also mentioned no donkey way fees to come through the door next few days. Obviously, go with what we've got, like we're saying here.
Varson.
Best manager available has just become unemployed is Grant McCann. Got promoted from League One last season, just come off the back of back-to-back wins against Blackburn Rovers and Bournemouth. I don't think Rowett deserves the push. As I said before, needs help. Tony Mowbray at Blackburn has done what I would like to see Rowett do here. He's been in charge for a long time and taking good baby steps towards where they are now. He has brought through a lot of young players too. We'll get value on Ishmael the sack tomorrow. I think positive, guys. Well, he was right. Think positive, but he's not quite sacked yet. But it is a good way of thinking, obviously. But I wasn't sure what we're getting from Rowett's Millwall. But yesterday is a good showcase for it in the second half. And long may that continue. I think, anyway, we've reached the closing point of part number one. In the second part of the show, we will talk all things Preston at home. Thanks for a doubleheader we've got this week. Back shortly. And welcome to the second part of the show. You're right there, Mickey. You're trying to throw me off my little
probably.
Mate, you've got to start it as this is where we're going to get 3 points.
Well, this is where we're going to get 3 points on Tuesday night, according to Kai. We're going with this. We play Preston on Tuesday night at home at the Den, looking to make it obviously back to back wins. Come on, Kai, talk to me about optimism and tell me how we're going to beat them. Obviously, they drew at the weekend 2-2 against Bristol City. Obviously, Ryan Lowe's manager there, obviously recently appointed. Was he at Plymouth before?
Yeah.
Yeah, so obviously he's young, hungry manager, a lot of pedigree there. And I think he's used his links with Gerrard, if I'm not mistaken, to get a couple of loanies in at one point or another. So should be an interesting game, I think, Tuesday night.
No, he's a good manager. He's a good young manager, sort of manager that if Gary did go a couple of months ago, I'd like to see Ryan Lowe come in. He's a really good young manager. You know, it'll be interesting Tuesday night because they're a good side. They're in a good bit of form. They've got some good players, obviously Johnson. I don't think Sinclair's back actually, but they've got some good players in that squad. But no, I think we back it up on Tuesday night. I think I'm going to go for a win. I'm going to be optimistic. I'm going to go for a 2-0 Millwall win.
Mickey, do you reckon we're going to do the business Tuesday night and get some consistency in this side?
Yes, I think we probably will have a bit of consistency. I think possibly after the weekend and things what went round at the weekend, I think it's possibly given, you know, a player's a point to prove maybe, and they need to come out and show what's what. Because it's all right, you know, blaming the manager or you know, saying the manager's done this or the manager's lost this and lost that and all that. But at the end of the day, the manager ain't the one playing on the field. Mm-hmm. And it's not as if you're playing a pure tactical game like, you know, American football, stuff like you have the ability, your class players, you have the ability to win a game if you want to win it. If you don't, and you just want to play like, you know, a bunch of donkeys to try and hopefully get someone to sack who probably ain't going to get the sack, then at the end of the day, you're just going to get mugged off by the fan base because you look shit. So just go out there, play with your heart, play with passion, power, and go out and win it.
Maybe it's a new lease of togetherness here, you know. Could be singing off the same hymn sheet. Players and fans and manager all maybe trying to, you know, grow again together, and it could be that case. I mean, obviously, Preston, like I said, drew 2-2 at the weekend. Goals for them came from both from Emil Reese, who is obviously a handful of a striker. Seems to have done well under Lowe since he's come back in, Kai. But they've also got a couple of injuries. Barkhuizen is injured. He's obviously a player that typically plays up front for them. And so is Sean Maguire. So, and I think Darnell Johnson is still away on international duty. So, I mean, I look at their side. Not many players there scare me, if I have to say it. But, you know, it's a workmanlike team in there. Ledson is a good pedigree from Premier League Everton back in the day. But I think, you know, another team that plays a back five as well. So we just have to be at our best and hopefully replicate that second half performance.
I would like to preferably watch EFL on Quest for the twice in maybe 5 days. I never watch EFL on Quest when we lose. On Saturday, it was lovely to watch EFL on Quest tune in and watch Millwall win. I don't watch when we lose, so I don't even like touch on it. So
I've not watched EFL Quest once this season. I don't know if that's just me, but I haven't.
It's not bad. It's not bad. I mean, on Wednesday night, I'd love to tune in, watch it, and with another 3 points.
I wonder how long it's going to take Mickey to realise he's on mute again. Just a classic kind of.
We should really watch Quest more, because they always, when Millwall wins or they post something about Millwall, they always copy us in their post, tag us in their post. So really, we should replay the favour and watch it back. So, yeah.
Thanks, Colin.
Yeah, thanks, Colin. Yeah. More than welcome to come on anytime you want, Colin.
I think the key is obviously consistency anyway, chaps, and that is the word I'm banging down here. As Mickey's showing these new blue teeth, thanks to these green screen effects.
I keep moving. Where I move out, I look like a fucking ghost. Occasionally, like where I'm moving in, I'm sort of like, yeah, look.
It's going to be same team again, chap, surely, right, for Tuesday. The gauntlet's going to be laid down to them saying, look, you've got the shirt, keep it. I think we mentioned, obviously, that team under Harris 3 or 4 years ago now when we nearly got into the playoffs. That team picked itself. And I feel like under Rowett, injuries have not helped, obviously, Kai, and we do talk about that. But there's not been a consistent 11 that's picked itself under the manager for a long while, I feel like. And now it's, you know, the gauntlet's there. There's your shirt. Keep it and see how long you keep it for, I suppose.
No, definitely. But the question after for you two boys, if Jeb Wallace is fit for Tuesday night, are you bringing him off the bench or are you starting him?
If he's still here.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a debatable one, this. But I wouldn't start him.
I'd bring him on the second half.
Yeah.
The manager says he's going to be here, right? Did he say it again yesterday, Kai? I mean...
Yeah, he did. But the thing is when someone says that and they're still going to be here, obviously, they're still prone to a bid. And if a bid comes in that's, you know, it's not projectable almost, he's going to go. But as it stands, he'll still be here for the rest of the season. But, you know, you could almost see... Now, I saw someone tweet earlier, Lewis Grabban's now out. He's injured. Now, you could see Nottingham Forest now coming in for him and going, it's even more important we get Jed now. Because we've got Keenan Davies up top and we play Jed on the left or on the right and Brennan Johnson on the left. And it's quite... I mean, I personally say they need more of a striker. But, you know, if that's the sort of player that... Okay, Grubbin's out. They might now push for Jed even more than they were.
Yeah, but so, we've outpriced him, I mean, there was a few...
That 9 million stuff was nonsense, I think.
Well, even if it ain't, I mean, we have outpriced him. I mean, you know, if they think they want 9 million for him, it ain't going to happen, is it?
Nah.
Interesting, right? I think that also with the... This is how it works with deadline day. Brennan Johnson's constantly been linked to a Premier League move. If a club comes in with a silly offer for him and bids silly money they have to accept, then that's what kind of brings the domino effects. And you might see Wallace move. And then if Johnson goes to the Premier League, Wallace goes to Nottingham Forest, then we might sign a player for £1 or 2 million. We might be able to go and get Sibley with the money. Do you know what I mean? Like, things could change really quickly with
Ian Fleming.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, I think what I do feel personally is if with the international market, so to speak, especially when it comes to deadline day, I don't think it's a problem for the big clubs in the Premier League, but when it comes to that for the Championship sides, you're going to struggle to get him over and get the deal done that quickly. But I can see it. If something like that happens, you wake up tomorrow morning, you've got a Sky on, and you see that Brennan Johnson's going to a Premier League side, I think he's been linked with a few clubs, you know, then it could spark the merry-go-round of the transfer window, I suppose. And that's the glory of it, I suppose, Mickey, and the kind of craziness of it at the same time.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think, you know, it is. I bet Man United were wishing that they got rid of Greenford, you know, 2 weeks ago in the transfer
window. Greenwood.
Greenwood.
You know what I mean?
Not Greenwood.
Greenwood.
Who's Greenford?
Greenwood, I said.
You said Greenford.
I said Greenwood.
It's unlike you to characteristically mispronounce something anyway, Mickey. So,
yeah, no, but I just say Greenwood. But it would have been, you know, it would have been good if they'd have fucking got rid of him 2 weeks ago.
Here we go. We're encouraging comments on YouTube. Did Mickey say Greenford or Greenwoods? Let us know in the comment section below and tweet us as well if you're listening on audio. I think me and Kai both know the answer is there. But
yeah, but it ain't fair now because even if I did say Greenford, you're going to edit it out anyway. So it makes it. Do you know what I mean?
No, I don't edit much of the show.
Why don't you? I look back at it and send it over on the group chat.
Kai, listen. The way Omar works, this will be a video clip, and it'll be, did Mickey say yes or no? And because of everything going on with Greenford at a minute, we're probably fucking
Greenford. You said Greenford again.
Greenwood.
I'm writing down the times. It will go out now for this.
Yes, so he's writing down the times now.
just for that, we've got. I can remember to do this tomorrow. So, but no, it's going to be interesting. Obviously, watch this space. I feel like the transfer window. I wanted to go a little bit off topic and go a bit rogue here. Have you seen who's being persistently linked with the Gillingham job, Mickey?
Harris,
and he's the favourite, firm favourite. Weird one, that. No, that's.
No,
I mean,
not really. I don't think it's weird at all because the owner of Gillingham is a massive Millwall fan, and yeah, he'd love to have a Millwall legend at his club.
I'm not sure he'd pay him the money that he wants because he doesn't seem to want to pay anything. My mate's a Gillingham fan, and they've been protesting for weeks. Everyone that protests against him is kicked out of the stadium.
They lost 7-2 at home yesterday to Oxford, and they've not won a game since. Go on, Kai.
I think it's like 17 games, isn't it?
19th of October, their last win. A 1-0
I think it's like 17 games.
I think if Neil Harris goes there, he's got to be a bit crazy, to be honest, because I think he's better than a Gillingham job, personally, because they're, what are they, rock bottom or 23rd place in League One. Surely he's going to hold out for a decent League One job if he's going to go down to that level.
You think so? That's what you think, anyway.
Interesting. I mean, if he does go there, fair play. And like we said, obviously, Millwall fan owns Gillingham, but...
Gillingham fan, eh?
Yeah, I can't see it. Can't see it, Mickey.
I don't know. I mean, I didn't like the games there before. I thought he was a bell end from the time when he was playing us on one of the last games of the season where he fucking gave it all that big one, didn't he? When he was at Rotherham. But no, look, it is what it is. Gillingham deserve what they get. To be fair, you know what I mean? They are what they are.
Pikes.
That's not allowed to say that. But yeah,
allegedly. I can't breathe. Right, anyway.
If he goes, it'll be close to where, you know, he's not a million miles away. He lives in Essex, doesn't he, that way? So it won't be a million miles away for him to go. You're a muted dickhead.
Look at me, it's the show with, I have to say.
Look, if he goes, he goes. I don't think he'll want silly money. He's not that good. He got kicked out of Cardiff, for fuck's sake, so he ain't that good.
It'll suit him, I think, that job. The location.
I think he should. Right? Yeah, but I think he should maybe drop. You know, go for Gillingham, drop down a league, build himself back up again, and then go because he is good. Whether or not it takes Livermore with him or not, and you know, Paul will have two fucking Millwall legends here. Whether or not that will go down well with a fan base or not, I don't know.
Yeah, and obviously, I suppose watch your space with that. And yeah, I do think it's a bit bizarre, but strange things are happening. I think in other different footballing news. I mean, it's the only good thing I can say from that, Kai, is that Bromley are going to get promoted to League Two, right? So we're going to deviate a little bit here. But Andy Woodburn and George Alexander up front, you know, they're doing bits over there, aren't they?
Excellent. Fantastic to see. Woodburn's a really good manager. I know he's former Palace, but he's done a really good job there. George Alexander scoring goals for fun. So, yeah, you love to see it.
Yeah, I mean, deviating a little bit here, but obviously it's nice to cover teams that are in the close vicinity to Millwall. So,
how about Olaf, though? How about Olaf, eh?
Yeah, he scored again yesterday, right?
Yeah.
What was the score? Really well. Did they win 2-0 in the end?
2-0 against Colchester, I think it was.
Yeah. So, yeah. He could be a League One striker playing for Sutton next season, this, right? It's a nice little progression.
How about just a championship striker for us?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's exciting. It's exciting to have Mitchell playing well. I know Moss has got in a team at Orient as well, and Olaf's doing well. You know, Bury's come back, and look at Bury. Look at, you know, he seems to be offering a kind of new lease of life and almost played yesterday. Obviously came as a sub. It's exciting to see these Millwall homegrown talents coming through again.
Just imagine if George Alexander was there, mate, fucking, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He could be scoring goals for us now, mate. Do you know what I mean? He could be that missing link we needed. But unfortunately, whatever reason, he got rejected by us, unfortunately, and now he's proven. So good luck to him. Fantastic news that he's picked himself up, dusted himself off and shown people his true ability and may that fucking continue.
Yeah. Well, we've approached, I think, full-time here for this podcast anyway today. Edition number 40 is done. Mickey, anything else you want to put into the show before I wrap things up?
No, the only word of advice I've got... Huh?
There's a first. Oh, wait, you haven't got something.
No, just really a bit of advice. I would I would suggest to Millwall to drop your current dog contractor and get a dog who actually can smell explosives. because Saturday was quite embarrassing considering that you're a pyrotechnic dog, so not one of them fucking found one. Hey-ho, here we go.
Here we go indeed. But yeah, that's it obviously from us. End of edition number 40. If you're new around here, be sure to subscribe, like the video. Obviously, get in contact with us on Twitter. As Mickey said, it would be great to know where you guys listen from. We do get a kind of scatter graph on metrics to see where people listen. So if you are listening or watching elsewhere around the world, let us know. It'd be great to be in touch with you guys. And we do tend to reply to a lot of the comments.
Also, if you run one of these, there's a lot of them. There's Millwall, Indonesia. There's a Millwall group in Australia, Millwall group in Russia. And when I get in touch, let us know what's what. Because obviously, it'd be good to know who you are.
Argentina.
Argentina, you retweet a lot of our stuff and all that. It'd be great to just learn a bit more about you so we can speak about you and whatnot online. So, yeah, all good, mate. All good.
Perfect. Cheers for coming on, Mickey, as always. And thanks to Kai. Oh, thank you, mate.
No worries, mate.
Hopefully, we'll be back on Wednesday evening or Thursday evening to cover a podcast with another 3 points and back-to-back wins at the Den. Thanks, guys. See you soon.
Up the lines.